1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Think it not strange. I believe the man of God, Peter, under the influence and the unction of the Holy Spirit, what he was simply saying in our everyday language when he said, think it not strange, he was saying, things are going to come at you. Things are going to happen to you. We are going to go through things. But please do not be a crybaby. Don't be crybabies. Don't think it strange. You are the beloved. That's why it says, beloved, think it not strange. You are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God. As the beloved of God, you're going to go through a lot of things. But do not be crybabies, because crybabies don't make it. Crybabies don't glorify God. Crybabies don't win victories. Do not be a crybaby. Do not freak out when you're going through things, when you're going through the most. Do not throw your toys around, because things are not working out for you. When things are not working out as planned or according to expectations, we must not lose ourselves. When we are not having our way, when our cage is rattled, the word of God says, chill out. When our cage is rattled, when our boat is rocked, chill out. Chill out, relax. God gathers. I say, God gathers. The maker of heaven and earth, he knows everything, is gathers. There is nothing that is above him. There is nothing that is beyond him. Remember, Peter says, beloved, are we the beloved of the Lord? What do we need to concern ourselves with when we're going through the most, we're going through things? We must concern ourselves with praising him. I say we must concern ourselves with praising him. What did Paul and Silas do at midnight? I say, what did Paul and Silas do in the midnight? What did they do? Do they speak in tongues? No. Do they pray in tongues? No. Do they fight in the spirit? No. But what did they do? They praised him. This is what I was telling you earlier on. When you praise God, you do not have to fight. When you praise God, God fights for you. But when you fight for yourselves, God, he stands still and looks at you. But when we praise him, friends, whatever happens to us at any time, we must take it on the chin. We must be brave and bold no matter what happens. We are the beloved of the Lord. We were not redeemed with things that are perishable. We are the beloved of the Lord, church. We were not redeemed with things that are perishable. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he says, cheer up. Imagine you're going through the most. The Lord says, cheer up. Cheer. Like, Lord, really? Yes, rejoice. Celebrate. Lord, but I'm going. Celebrate. Cheer up. Says, in this world, we are going to have trouble. In this world, we are going to pass through a lot of things. Who is he talking about? Who is he talking to? To us, the children of God. To us, the redeemed, the born again of God. Now our God says, cheer up. Don't fret it out. Cheer up. Cheer up. Our lack of praise, I believe, is the reason why we are not seeing the strong arm of the Lord revealed in our lives. Our lack of praise. Our lack of praising him, knowing that God is bigger, God is much bigger, God is mightier than what I'm going through. God is much bigger and mightier than my circumstance, than my situation. God, this is the reason why we praise. People, the Israel army with Saul, they saw a strong and a big man. They saw a giant in Goliath, but David did not see a great big man in Goliath. The only thing that David saw was a big God. That was the difference. They saw a great and mighty warrior. David did not see a great and mighty warrior. David saw a great and big God that will crush this man. crushed him. And not only did he crush him, saints, he took his big head, Goliath's big head, the head that instilled so much fear in Saul and the army that was with Saul. What do you see? What do you see? How do you perceive? You see, listen, friends, perception is everything. What do you see? What do you perceive when you're going through things? What do you see? What do you perceive? What do you perceive? Do you see God always before you? Like the psalmist says. Do you perceive God always before you, or you perceive problems and issues that are insurmountable, challenges that are beyond you, that are out of your control, things that you can do nothing about? You see, perception is everything. What do you see, and how do you see it? They were looking at Goliath. They were scared stiff of this man, but David did not see this man. And who was David? David was the youngest and the smallest of them all. Who was David? The youngest and the smallest of them all. David was not a trained warrior. He found himself among trained, seasoned warriors, and he was none of that. But these were warriors in the physical. These were warriors in the natural. David was but a child. Who defeated Goliath? You see, God has a sense of humor. I say, God has a sense of humor. Who defeated Goliath? Who defeated the mighty warrior? God has a sense of humor. A child. God mocked Goliath through David. It was God mocking. God mocks the things. God mocks the things that are beyond us. God mocks the things that are stronger and mightier than we are. God mocks the things. We should not forget to praise him. This is why our God says, cheer up. When you don't have food, rejoice. Rejoice. Don't become sour and bitter. When you don't have money, rejoice. Don't become sour and bitter. When they reject you, rejoice. Cheer up. Do not become sour and bitter. When you do not have, cheer up. Do not become sour and bitter. Perception for a child of God is everything. How do you see what you see? How do you see what you see? I told someone during the week that I felt the Lord ministering to me that the spiritual realm is very fluid. I was telling someone during the week that this is what the Lord was ministering to me, that the spiritual realm is very fluid. That means God can do anything anytime, but it depends on my initiative. It depends on what I do. It depends on what I say. It depends on what I think. It depends on how I perceive. The spiritual realm is fluid. Anything can happen anytime, but it depends on my initiative. I say it depends on my initiative. God can appear to anyone, anytime. It depends on what you do for God to appear, for God to show himself, because the spirit realm is fluid. We are walking in the midst of the spirit realm, and some of us are none the wiser to notice what we have around us, what we find ourselves in. The Lord says, cheer up. I say, the Lord says, cheer up. No. This is what you tell anybody who goes through the most. If that person is a child of God, please remind them of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tell them, cheer up, rejoice, celebrate. This is what the Master has said. And you people of God, listen to me. None of you can be kinder than God. None of us is more loving than God. When we are going through troubles, the Lord says, cheer up. Let us cheer up. Cheer up. Hallelujah. When everything around us goes into a tailspin and it spirals out of control, when everything just goes out of control, we must cheer up, we must rejoice, we must celebrate. Why? Because if we trust God, why? Because if we trust God, he will bring everything to a good end. If we trust God, he will bring everything to a good end. The Bible is filled with the fingerprints of God. The Bible is filled with the fingerprints of God, how God worked wonders, how God, He works mighty for those that dared to place their trust in Him. And we all know, it's right there in the scriptures, how everything ended. God who brings everything to a good end for us. Friends, sometimes we go through things that are beyond our control. I say sometimes we go through things that are beyond our control, but that is life. It is what it is. Something that is beyond your control. And you know that there is nothing that I can do about this. There is no man who can help me with this. But such is life. Such is life. Let us not lose it. Let us not freak out. Let us not throw our toys around because we are going through things that are beyond our control. No, no. Such is life. That's how life is designed. It is what it is. But with God, whatever we go through, there shall be a desired end. But with God, but with God, but with God. You see, Trisha, what makes the difference is God. If God is involved, if God is with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? This is the word of the Lord, Philippians 4 and 13, the Amplified. Philippians 4 and 13, the Amplified. Are we there, friends? Philippians 4, 13, the Amplified. I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I'm hearing a rustling of the pages. Yeah, let's get there, please. I don't want to leave you behind. Let's get there. I love your paper Bibles. They are awesome. I don't want to leave you behind. We need to hear the word of the Lord. I say we need to hear the word of the Lord. I promise you, if you can hear the gist of what God is saying today, you will never be the same again. I promise you. I promise you. You will look at anything and laugh. You will look at any difficulty and laugh. You will look at any predicament and laugh. You will look at any mountain and laugh. You will look at any opposition and laugh. If you, it's the gist, is to get the gist of the message. Now it says, I can do all things which He has called me to do through Him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill His purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Now listen, I'm ready for anything. And I am equal to anything. I am ready for anything. And I am equal to anything. Through Him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Friends, we are ready for anything. We are equal to anything. We are ready for anything. We are equal to anything. Notice we did not give birth to ourselves. This new birth was given to us by the Lord. We cannot be defeated. A child of God, that one who's born again, cannot be defeated. Why? Because the Bible says, whatever is born of God, whatever is born of God overcomes. Whatever is born of God. If you are born of God, you cannot be defeated. That's the meaning right there. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith, whatever is born of God cannot be defeated but overcomes. We are ready for anything. We are equal to anything. God cannot allow us to go through something that He knows is going to squash us. I say, God can never do that. God will never do that. When He allows us to go through something, it's because He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end from the beginning because His word says, whatever is born of God, it overcomes. When God allows us, permits us to go through something, it is because the Lord has already seen the victory at the end. I say, He has seen the victory at the end. We are ready for anything. We are equal to anything. I say we are ready for anything. And we are equal to anything. People of God, nothing that we go through will kill us. Nothing that we go through will cripple us. Nothing that we go through will erase us. No, 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 no. We cannot be erased as children of God. We are here to stay. I say we are here to stay. When they think that we are finished, that's when we emerge. I say when they think we are finished, that's when we emerged. We cannot be erased. We are here to stay. Whatever is born of God overcomes. Listen, how do you write off an overcomer? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. How do you write off an overcomer? How do you put an end to an overcomer? It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. Hallelujah. No storm is meant to kill or destroy a true child of God. I say no storm is meant to kill or destroy a true child of God. Whatever the Lord allows us to go through, it is always for our own good. I say, whatever the Lord allows us, whatever it is, God, that He allows us to go through, it is always, not sometimes. It's always for our own good. That means good is going to come out of it. I say, good is going to come out of it. This is the path that we go through. This is the path of the champions. This is the path of the overcomers. Whatever is born of God overcomes. Who are you, church? Who are you? Maybe you're underestimating yourself. He says you're an overcomer. I say, maybe you're underestimating yourself, but I thought God said you are an overcomer. Whatever is born of God, I'm repeating myself, you did not give yourself the new birth. The new birth was given, and the new birth that overcomes, that nature is the nature that overcomes. And guess what? It overcomes the world. That means no matter where you are in the world, no matter the challenge, but you overcome. He says, overcomes the world. That means wherever you are placed, wherever we are placed, we shall overcome. They take us now and place us in Eastern Cape, we will overcome. They can take us to Namaqualand, we will still overcome. They can take us to the Groot and the Klein Karoo, we will still overcome. They can take us to the country called Limpopo, we will still overcome. Whatever is born of God, as long as it's called the world, we overcome. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I say overcomes the world. In the business sector, you ought to overcome. In the education sector, you ought to overcome. Wherever the Lord has placed you, you ought to overcome. In the spirit, we ought to overcome. Come on, church. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Yes, we understand we are in the world. We do business in the world. We work in the world. We are employed by worldly people. We work for worldly companies, of course. Now, that's where we should overcome. That's exactly where we should overcome. In the world. In the world. There's nothing to overcome in church. The church is the body of Christ. No. We ought to overcome in the world where we are placed. The word of the Lord says for our light affliction. The word of the Lord says for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction, which is but not eternal, which is but not permanent. So everything that we are going through, it is but for a moment. It's a moment. It's for a moment. Last week I said, I was standing here, I said, let us not make permanent decisions. Let us not make permanent decisions when we are going through temporary things. No, don't make permanent decisions. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, listen to what he says, is working for us, not working against us, not has come to kill us, not has come to destroy us. Whatever has come at us has not come to kill us. It is working for us. Now again, perspective. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Now, when the affliction comes, what do you see? How do you see it? Perspective. Perspective. Listen. When we're going through stuff, it is because God has entrusted you. God trusts you that much that you will overcome. God trusts you that much. You notice we don't all of us go through the same things. It is not one size fits all. Everything we go through is tailor-made. It is custom-made. Everything we go through, our problems are bespoke problems. Made just for you. I say made just for you. God trusts us that much for our light affliction. So we have affliction in the world. So we have trouble in the world, but we are overcomers. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Right? But we also know the scripture that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions for our light affliction. Many are the afflictions for our light affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, what does the Lord do? He delivers him out of some of them. The Lord delivers him out of? Few are the afflictions of the righteous. That's why he says, don't freak out. Don't be a crybaby, because many are the afflictions. Don't be a crybaby. Otherwise, you won't make it. You won't make the journey. Like I used to say, you need a spiritual stamina. This path is not for babies. You need spiritual stamina. You cannot be a crybaby. You need spiritual stamina. That's what it means to endure. Endure means spiritual stamina. When the Bible says endure, that means have spiritual stamina to go right through it till the end. Friends, what are we saying? We are saying many are the blessings of the righteous. I say many are the blessings of the righteous. Why? Because to the righteous, afflictions are a blessing. Can you see that? Now, when you say many are the afflictions of the righteous, afflictions are a blessing to the righteous. Therefore, many are the blessings of the righteous. Am I talking to somebody? Why? Because he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for me. It is for my own blessing. What does it mean, therefore, if I go through affliction? That's why Jesus says, cheer up. When I go through affliction, I should rejoice. When I go through affliction, I should celebrate. This is why he says, cheer up. Celebrate. Celebrate. For the fourth time today, the key is your perception. How do you perceive it? What do you see? How do you see it? I can see you don't have money, but how do you see that? And how do you see it? I can see you don't have food. I see that. But how? You see, the spiritual realm is fluid. It is fluid. It is according to how you see it, because how you see it will determine whether or not you will engage the spiritual realm. How do you see it? How do you see it? Or we just go helter-skelter when we are going through things instead of staying put and giving God the glory? I say when we're going through things, instead of going helter-skelter, we should stay put and give God the glory. I say for the last time, when we're going through things, we ought to stay put and give God the glory. If you can, be alone and meditate on God. If you can, lock yourself up and meditate on God. If you can, be alone. Don't talk to nobody and meditate on God. Now you'll see victory. The problem is some of us, when we're going through things, we talk to everybody. We talk to the whole town. We talk to the whole town. Like the song says, the whole town is laughing at me. Okay. You see your perception? We are focused. If you can see people laughing at you, your focus is wrong. If you can hear people talk about you, that means your focus is wrong. That is what I'm talking about. You ought not to see anybody. You ought not to listen to anybody. No. You ought not to hear nobody. Because why? You're focusing on the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, oftentimes, blessings come to us dressed as afflictions. Some of us, we have rejected our blessings because they came camouflaged. I say they came camouflaged. The blessing is in the victory. Hallelujah. But you see, there is no victory without a battle. There's no victory without a fight. There's no victory without a war. Our blessings come to us dressed, camouflaged, disguised as afflictions. Some of us, we have given up, we have rejected, not knowing that we have given up on our blessings. We have rejected our own blessings. And this is the part where discernment is key. I say, this is the part where discernment is key. Hallelujah. Whatsoever we go through is very small in comparison. Whatever we go through is very small compared to the blessing intended by the Lord for us. Please know that. This is why he's saying, for our light affliction. It is bad for a moment. Why? Because anything that we go through, it is very, very, very small. It is tiny. It is puny compared to the blessing that the Lord has intended for us. Now, every time you go through something, think about the blessing that is at the end of it. For the joy that was set before him. He endured. He had spiritual stamina for the joy that was set before him. You see, every time when we're going through something, there is something that is set before us at the end of the affliction, at the end of the difficulty, at the end of the situation. Again, for the fifth time today, perception. What do you see? How do you see it? Trouble all around? It is what it is. Such is life. I say trouble all around? It is what it is. Such is life. But how do you see it? Oh, glory to God. No. Here's the thing about life. You cannot run away from trouble. You cannot run away from difficulty. You cannot run away from affliction. Please try to run. Try. You can't. It will always find you. You cannot run away. You have to face it head on. Tell yourself, this is Paul where we read. He says, I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything. You see, that was his perception. Perception is key. The woman said to herself, if only. Listen, she was, there were people around her. There was a crowd. There was a multitude. But she spoke to none of the people around her. But she said to herself, if only I may touch. Perception. And because she had the right perception, everything changed for her. It's the same thing with us. Why are things not changing? Because we have espoused a wrong perception. We have espoused a wrong perception. People of God, we should not be crybabies. We should grow up. You cannot run from problems. Whether you are poor, there are problems of poor people. Whether you are rich, there are problems of rich people. Whether you are middle class, there are problems of middle class people. Okay? By the way, load shedding is for everybody. Can you see that? No one can run away from troubles. Even if you run, you are running away from your own shadow. I say, even if you run, you are running away from your own shadow. When you're trying to run away from trouble, you are running away from your own shadow. trying to run away. Oh, let me not say this one. let me leave it to your discernment. Friends, everything the devil does to cause harm, the Lord, it turns it out to favor us. Everything the devil does to cause us harm, the Lord, he turns it out to favor us, to work for us, to benefit us, to benefit us. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. Are we even aware of the benefits that are there for us daily? Right? Again, perspective is key. Do we see the benefits? Do we look at problems and rejoice? Knowing who we are, knowing whose we are, knowing that we are born of God, knowing that we overcome the world. I said, do we look at problems and celebrate? Do we look at problems and we pop champagne, non-alcoholic, and we pump champagne when we look at problems? Do we rejoice, church? Do we rejoice? Or we curl up and lock ourselves in our houses, in our bedrooms, and stuff ourselves with food until food comes out through our ears. And then we write through social media, we tell everyone who cares to read and to listen that we are depressed. Why? Perspective. Perspective. You can decide any time to rise up. You can decide anytime to stand up. You can decide anytime to say, I am the born of God. I am the one who overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even my faith. Perspective. I say everything the devil does to cause harm, the Lord, it turns it out for our good. The Lord, it turns it out to favor us. It turns it out to benefit us. It turns it out for us. Saints, the Lord always switches things up on the devil whenever it comes to his own children. He switches things up on Satan. He defeats the devil at his own game when it comes to his children. We know this how, because God is a jealous God. God is jealous for us. 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 He will not stand by and look at harm being inflicted to us by the enemy. Oh, God will not stand by and look at harm inflicted to us by the enemy. He will not stand by. If he stands by, you are not born again. Because to his children, to his beloved, he will not stand by. He will not stand by. He switches things up on the devil. Genesis chapter number 50. Genesis 50 and 20. The Good News Translation. Now Joseph says to his brothers, you plotted evil against me, but God, he turned it into good. You see, God turned it. You plotted evil, but God turns. You see, that's what God does for his children. Whatever the devil means to harm them, whatever the devil means for harm, the Lord, he turns it all the time. This is why I'm saying he will not stand by and look. No, but there is a good end. There is a desired end that the Lord has intended for us in every situation that we go through. You plotted evil against me, but God intended into good in order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened. Whatever the Lord permits, whatever the Lord allows us to go through, friends, it carries divine purpose and assignment. Whatever the Lord allows us to go through, it carries divine purpose. It carries divine assignment. Listen to the words of Joseph. You plotted evil against me, but God turned it into good. Now listen to the purpose and the assignment. In order to preserve the lives of many people who are alive today because of what happened. Everything that we pass through, it carries this. I'm only speaking to mature Christians. Honestly. Honestly. If you are not hearing me, because you are still drinking milk. Everything God permits and allows His children to pass through, it carries divine purpose and divine assignment. Let us not forget that Joseph was only 17 years old. 17 years old when he was thrust into this ordeal of his life. 17. Was it destroyed? Of course not. Why? Because Joseph was the beloved of the Lord, just as you and I are beloved of the Lord. Listen, majority of us here, we are above the age of 17. What excuse do we have not to endure? What excuse do we have not to go through whatever the Lord permits and allows, and victoriously so? What excuse do we have? We are trying to run away. When you try to run away from difficulty, you are running away from your own shadow. I say, when you run away from your difficulty, you are running away from your own shadow. Every evil intended to harm us, every hardship, every difficulty that we go through will eventually turn out for our good. Every evil intended to harm us, every hardship, every difficulty that we go through, it will eventually turn out for our own good. Can you see that? The Lord defeated Satan at his own game when it came to Joseph. This is exactly what the Lord does for us. He defeats Satan at his own game when it comes to you and me, my friends. And he uses the devil. The Lord, he uses the devil for our blessing and for our advancement. God, he uses him. He intends to kill the devil. He intends to harm. He intends to destroy him. But the Lord, he switches things up on him all the time. And God uses him for our blessing and for our advancement. You can see this in scripture. Number one, Joseph's brothers, they meant to harm him. They meant to kill him. They meant to destroy him. They were not teasing him. They were not tickling him. They were killing him. They were not playing a bad game with Joseph. They were killing him. But the Lord, he used their evil deed to catapult Joseph onto the next level of his life. God, he used their evil deed. No. The brothers of Joseph, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to finish with him. But God was using them all this time. He used their evil deed to catapult this young man onto the next level of his life. You know, some of us, we think that we're going to be catapulted into the next level of our life, into the next level of our destiny by a beautiful word of encouragement. If you're waiting for that, it may never come. Some of us, we think it's going to be a good pat on the shoulder. Some of us, we think it's going to be a big bear hug, a big warm bear hug that is going to catapult us onto the next level of our lives. No, my friend. It's going to be afflictions. It's going to be enemies. It's going to be things that we don't like. Some of us, it is the gossip that you hear in church. Some of us, is this gossip you heard in church? But perception is key. How you perceive the gossip, some of you sink, while some of you swim. The gossip, it had come to sift. The gossip, there are people in church that are gossiping. They are gossiping, all right? So that's what it takes to catapult you, depending on your perception. How you perceive the gossip, it is either you sink or you swim. Some of us said to say, instead of swimming, not only are we sinking, we have sunken by what we heard. Everything that we hear, it is what we hear and how we hear it. And then how do you process it? And how do you process it? Let me tell you, in every good church, there will be gossip. In every good church, there are people you must distance yourself from. In every good church, there are people that you must determine not to listen to. In every good church, there are people you must determine that you're not going to have lunch with them. In every good church, there are people that you determine you are not going to entertain them on WhatsApp. You're not going to entertain them on social media. You're not going to entertain them on phone call. In every good church, when you try to run away, you are trying to run away from your own shadow. Your own shadow. Hallelujah. The Lord, number two, the Lord used Pharaoh's daughter to raise baby Moses. Who did the Lord use? Pharaoh's daughter. But who was Pharaoh's daughter? She was the enemy. Pharaoh's daughter was the enemy of God's people. God used the very same enemy. Now, who was killing the boys at the time? It was her father. Her own father. Now, God used his own daughter. You see how God switches things up on those that hate you. I said, you see how God switches things up on those that hate you, on those that want to see you down, on those that want to see you failed, on those that want to see you amount to nothing. The Lord God, he switches things up on them. The Lord used Pharaoh's daughter to raise baby Moses. The Lord, it is like unto the Lord that he uses the enemy to advance our cause. God uses the enemy to advance our cause. Oh my goodness. God, he uses the enemy. God, he uses that one person who hates you the most in your family to advance your cause. God will use that person who hates you the most at your workplace to advance your cause. God will use that one manager that dislikes you the most to advance your cause. We are looking around, we're thinking that God is going to use my boyfriend or my girlfriend. We are thinking that God is going to use my friend, God is going to use my buddy. No, friends, it is enemies. People of God, the people who are trying to pull you down, I say the people that are trying to pull you down are only facilitating your upward movement. For the sixth time today, perception. The people who are trying to pull you down, if you are a child of God, if you are the beloved, they are only facilitating your upward movement. If God could use Pharaoh, if God could use Pharaoh, the man who was hard as the rock of Gibraltar, if God could use such a person to advance the cause of Joseph, to advance the cause of Moses, you see, God uses the enemy to advance his own cause. What are the people doing that are trying to pull you down? What are they doing? They're facilitating your upward movement. You need enemies around you. Listen to me, you people of God. If you surround yourself with people that are talking good about you, you might be a very big fool that has ever existed. If you surround yourself with people that are saying good, you might be a very big fool that ever existed. We need discomfort in life to change sometimes. Whatever the devil uses to push you down, friends, God uses to pull you up. I say, whatever the devil uses to push you down, the Lord uses to pull you up. He uses to pull you up. What did Potiphar's wife did? She was trying to push Joseph down, all right? But God used her to pull that young man up. It was necessary for Joseph to go down. It was necessary for Joseph to go down into the prison. It was necessary for Joseph to go down into the dungeon. Listen to me. It is necessary for you to go down into debt so that you could learn how to manage money better when God has blessed you. It is necessary. Because now you are eating McDonald's every single day. Number one, it's not good. It's not good financial sense. Number two, it's not good for your health. Now God, to catch your, to capture your attention, he'll allow you to sink into debts. Because now when you don't have the money to buy McDonald's, now you are thinking soberly. See? And now you remember how you wasted money. Now you remember how you wasted money. And God says, now the class is on. When you remember how you wasted it, God says, now the class is on. Now let's talk. See that? It is necessary. I say, tell your neighbor, it is necessary. It was, say to your neighbor, it was necessary for you that you went down and you hit rock bottom and you thought you'd never rise again. But look at God. But look at God. Yes. Stop being a cry baby. Stop crying. Every small difficulty, yeah. Every small thing you cry. Every small thing wangala. Every small thing watluhela. Every small thing katamaya. Every small thing katifosa. Cry baby. Small issues in marriage, cry babies, they divorce. I'm calling my lawyer. Cry babies. God cannot entrust them with anything. Friends, no one can keep in the pit what the Lord has destined for the palace. No one can keep in the pit what the Lord has destined for the palace. No one, no one, no one. Listen, I'm not destined for the pit. My perception is different. I say my perception is different. You see that? If you cannot see the victory at the end of your dark tunnel, you may not taste it. If you cannot see the victory at the end of your dark tunnel, you may never, ever taste that victory. Perception is everything in the things of the spirit. Perception is everything. Not dreaming, not wishful thinking. Perception. What do you see? How do you see it? How do you see it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, no one can keep in the pit what the Lord has destined for the palace. You see, that's why the pit could not keep Joseph. No dungeon, no prison, no obscurity. No dungeon, no prison, no obscurity can keep you down when your promotion time has come. When the time of favor has come, nothing can keep you down. But you see, to recognize the time of favor requires discernment. I say to recognize the time of favor requires discernment. When the time for God to work through the young man called Joseph, it led to him being hated by his own brother. It led to him being wanted to be killed, to be murdered by his own brother. It led to him being thrown into the pit by his own brother. It led to him to being human trafficked by his own brother. They human trafficked him. He was trafficked. They earned money. They sold him as a slave. True story. You see, that time of favor, how do you see it? You think the time of favor is going to come dressed in white? See? It's going to come dressed in white? No way, Jose. Perception is everything. I say perception is everything, church. The Lord, he used Pharaoh, the enemy, to prepare Moses. He used Pharaoh, the enemy, to prepare Moses for his calling, for his purpose, for his glorious future. He used the enemy. Sometimes, for the Lord to prepare you for your calling, for the Lord to prepare you for your destiny, he allows you to go through very ruthless circumstances. Sometimes it is very ruthless. Ruthless. This is why I'm telling you, not even a single one of us here can be kinder than God. Not even a single one of us here can be more loving than boredom. When God commits you into an undesirable circumstance, He knows exactly what He is doing. He knows. He knows. He knows, church. He knows. While He prepares us for our calling, for our destiny, sometimes He allows us to go through ruthless circumstances, like utterly, totally, absolutely ruthless. When you keep asking many times in one day, Lord, where are you? Many times in one day, say, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? No, no, no. He's right there in you. He's right there with you. But because of what He allowed you, what He led you to go through. Friends, when we are in God, the enemy is only a tool in the hand of the Lord. I say, when we are in God, when we are in God, not when we are running away from the Lord, but when we are in God, the enemy is only a tool in the hand of the Lord. Satan is a tool. Satan is a tool in the hand of God. Satan is a tool. Let us stop to give him credit that he does not deserve. Let us stop giving him the kudos he does not deserve. The devil is but a tool. He's a tool in the hand of the Lord. Friends, because of this, this is why we are commanded to love our enemies and not to hate them. I say we are commanded to love our enemies and not to hate them. We are commanded to bless our enemies and not to curse them. Do not curse your enemies. Bless them. We are commanded to pray for our enemies and not to call them names. I tell you, neighbor, you are commanded to pray for your enemies and not to call them names. Body shaming. We are not called to body shame our enemies. Pray for your enemy. Oh my goodness, are the people hearing me what I'm saying? I say, pray for your enemy. Because they are merely tools in the hand of God. They are merely tools. The people that are closing the door on your promotion. They are closing the door. You know my promotion is here. You know if only this one can say one word, just three words, not even the entire sentence, a whole sentence of three words, you know your door of promotion would open. See that? They are tools in the hand of the Lord. To do what, friends? To prepare us and to strengthen our faith. Enemies are tools in the hand of the Lord that God uses to prepare us and to strengthen our faith. If you can love the people that hate you, you are growing in faith. You are growing in faith. If you can forgive the people that have done you wrong, they have honestly and seriously and truly and sincerely, they have done you wrong. But if you can forgive them, then truly you are growing in the Spirit. Now you can praise the Lord. How do you praise God with hate in your heart? How do you praise the Lord with unforgiveness in your heart? How do you praise the Lord with bitterness in your heart? Does not work. Our enemies are tools. The Bible says, church, the Lord, He prepares a table for us. The Lord, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. The Lord prepares a table. That's blessing. That's a table of blessings. That's a table of promotion. That's a table of good things. It is a table of goodness. But the Lord, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. The Bible does not say that the Lord, He prepares a table for us in the presence of our friends. Although our friends will be there to see it, but God, He primarily prepares a table for us in the presence of our foes, of our enemies. The Bible does not say the Lord, He prepares a table for us in the absence of our enemies. You see, you wish them gone. God wishes them present. I say, you wish your enemies gone. You do. You do. No, no, no. But God wishes them present. You wish them absent. No, no, God says, no, no, no. When I bless you, I want them to see, but they will not partake. Tell me if there's a punishment greater than that. When someone you dislike is making it, how do you feel? No, 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 they will see it, but they cannot partake. Now, that is the will of God. Let us distinguish between our will and the will of God. You wish your enemies gone. You wish them dead. You even count, when is this one gonna die? Now they've 1060, they are getting closer. Now they've 1065, they are getting closer. No, no, God says, I will keep them until they're 100 if needs be. So that I want them to see. You see, they said wrong things about you. They concluded wrong about you. They finished on you. Now God says, I want to keep them just to disprove them. To say everything that you said about my beloved was all false. God will keep them. Glory to God. Some of us after divorce, we wish our ex to shrivel up, to wither like a flower, to look like biltong. But that's the time when God gives them good health. That's the time when God gives them good skin complexion. That is the time when God gives them a tummy of blessings. That is the time when God causes them to buy a beautiful house in the location that we are dying to live in. You see, He's dealing with you. Tell a neighbor, say, He's dealing with me. Yes. I want them dead. God wants them alive. I want them gone. God wants them present. Finally, beautiful people of God, Philippians 1 and 6. When you hear that the person is sick, and you go like, uzofanini. When will he or she die? Uzofanini. Forgetting that the path of death is for all men. 1 and 6 Philippians. Being confident, our dear friends, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, he will perform it, he will do it, he will bring it to pass. What is the man of God through the Holy Spirit telling us? He is simply saying this. This is the word of the Lord to every one of us here today. God will not fail you. God will not fail you. No matter the circumstance, God will not fail you. No matter the circumstance, let's clap hands for Jesus today.